The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
Welcome to The Shepherd at Work, a weekly program to help you learn how to live your Christian faith in every place you work and live. Host Mark Goldstein introduces you to individuals who are successfully and effectively engaging in marketplace ministry and gives you the tools you need to do the same. The Shepherd at Work is sponsored by the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce, building kingdom, business, and community. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
And welcome to another edition of The Shepherd at Work. You know, one of the things that absolutely kills a person's testimony, and Mike, you'll agree with this, I believe, what kills a person's testimony is messing up with money.
Oh, money is a problem for a lot of people.
It is. Yeah. Having too much, too little, doing all the wrong things with it, doing not enough of the right things.
And loving it too much.
Absolutely.
That'll get you in trouble real fast.
So I thought today we'd talk about money stuff. How's that sound? So who better to talk about money stuff than our dear friend, Christy Naruzzi, who by day is a mortgage broker, but by the rest of the time, she actually helps people figure out that whole money thing. So welcome, Christy.
Thank you. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Mike. So we said you are a mortgage broker.
I am.
But more than that, you have a passion to help people, with Christians, with their finances. Where'd that passion come from and why?
Where did it come from? Well, I've always struggled with money. I believe that one of the biggest roadblocks in really feeling true fulfillment in life is understanding and having enough of money. I think Jesus knew that too. He spoke a lot about it. He knew that that would take a lot of bandwidth, a lot of our attention and time, and probably one of those, the bigger things in our life that we would stress about and wrestle with. I was raised very, very poor. We always had food on the table. We always had a roof over our head, but government assistance to get us through. And money was not a topic we were allowed to discuss in our home.
Why?
Because we didn't have any.
Oh, okay.
And it was unfortunately a scarcity mindset. Okay. Mom was a magician with what she could do with food and resources in our household. However, I just didn't talk about money. And I think it was, you don't talk about what you don't have. So as I became an adult and I bought my first home at the age of 24, and the whole process of buying a home was really intriguing to me. It was very, very interesting. And I was in a job where I was earning commission and I hadn't been in that job for longer than about a year. And somebody wasn't able to help me get approved on a mortgage. And nothing feels more defeating than being told, sorry or no, or you're declined, right? And I kept seeking out. I found somebody who was able to work with my situation. And that actually ignited something in me that excited me about being able to provide a solution for other people. And lo and behold, I wound up walking straight into the mortgage business because of the process of buying a home.
If I remember correctly, your dad was in ministry.
Yes, he was a pastor.
So the fact that he was a pastor, you all had squat for money. Did that kind of put in a tape of, okay, if you're doing things for God, you shouldn't have money?
It did create a story. I think all of our experiences and our environment, what we're taught, either through just the experience of what we see and also what we hear, it definitely shaped how I viewed money. So my parents were some of the most giving people I've ever met. My father was a pastor and a principal of a Christian school. My mom, having five kids and a bunch of foster kids, opened up a daycare. And we used to host missionaries as they would travel around the country and those kinds of things. And my parents did so much for so many people. And I actually, out of that, created a story myself that I could either do good in this world or I could have money. But my example was I couldn't have both. Mm. And so as I entered into my career in the work field, I'm not making money. I'm doing business, but I'm not really earning money. And a lot of that was how I viewed money from that story I had created of my past. And that has brought me more recently into seeing that we all have some kind of relationship with money, and that tends to keep us stuck. What we believe money is for, and if it's for us. Some people actually retract it from even coming to them. They just actually, push it away instead of it flowing through. And it's just because of our beliefs.
So in your viewpoint, and everything you've seen and experienced, what is the proper viewpoint on how money and finances should be used and how they affect the Christian walk?
Well, especially as Christians, we are stewards of our money. And we've got to remember where our provisions come from. So if we start there, that automatically reshapes our relationship and how we view money. If we realize that God is the provider, but what does that mean? It doesn't mean a whole, suitcase load of money is going to fall in your lap.
Right.
That means he has equipped you and has equipped me to go out and earn. So, and actually, I want to even rephrase it from earning. We can make our money. Okay. So instead of saying earn, because I actually, in my mind, and it may not occur to you this way, but in my mind, it almost feels to me like a cap on my worth, right? Mm. Because money is energy. We're actually physically exchanging our time, our expertise, and our skill set for this thing called money.
Right.
So we can make it dependent on what kind of value we bring others.
Mm.
So God gave you and gave me specific skill sets and put me, like, I didn't grow up saying I'm going to be a mortgage broker. I actually failed algebra. It was my only F I ever got in school. And now every day of my life, I'm solving for X.
Yeah. And so, that's what algebra really is. It's finding that unknown equation.
Yeah.
And I used to find that to be what I was doing when I was trying to balance my checkbook. It was an unknown equation. It was unknown to me anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. And numbers can be very challenging and very scary. And sometimes we come to looking at our money and we believe, well, I'm not good with money. I'm not good with numbers. And when we share those stories or live in that story, we actually have to prove ourselves right. And so sometimes I find that people really get stuck. So if we know who our provider is and we see that we are just stewards of our money, then that means we have to make really good decisions with what we have. And I think that that's where most people are tripped up, is because we're not making the right decisions with what we have. We're not living inside of our means. We're not treating it with the love that and not the love of money. The love of what to do with that money. So you started off saying that we have a challenge in ministry of giving because there's usually not much left to give.
Right.
So I think sometimes we actually work backwards. We pay our bills and we are a financed society. You can finance anything from your home, your car, your couch, and your puppy, right? Even your cell phone you can finance. So we're just seeing if we can squeeze in one more payment for what we have instead of working in reverse. I like to reverse engineer it. So we should have our tithing, we should have our savings, and our giving.
I've heard it said that you can tell somebody's Christian experience by looking in their checkbook register. So how then does money and faith equate? I mean, is money and is that the gauge on your faith, what you're doing with your money? How does that relate?
Well, let me raise you on that, because there's a saying where if you look at a person's checkbook and their calendar, you can see where their commitments, what's important to them.
Okay.
Okay. So so maybe look at where our time and energy is spent as well.
Sure. So putting all that together, the faith aspect, where you're putting your time, talent, and treasure. So how, I guess at the end of the day, is how you're using your money, your time, your talent, a litmus test, in essence, on your faith.
I absolutely do think that. And I also think that some people are in a state of fear that they say, well, if I give my first 10%, like the Bible calls me to, there's not enough left. And that's a state of fear and a state of scarcity. I really think that that's what's keeping Christians from being able to fulfill what God has for us in our own personal lives and as a whole, as a body of Christ, to be able to fund those amazing organizations and churches, to be able to be the hands and feet of Christ out there. So I would challenge somebody to start off with that 10%. Pretend like it's a forced tax. If the government wouldn't put an additional 10% tax on your take-home pay or on your income, what you make, you have no choice in the matter. You would find a way to adjust. And I promise you, you can't outgive God.
That is a great point. When we come back, we're going to be taking a break in about another minute. But one of the things, as a mortgage professional, you actually grant a lot of mortgages, but I imagine you have to turn down a lot too, for a lot of specific reasons. There's a lot of misery, a lot of woe out there. Folks' credit scores aren't at 800 or more, and some may be down around 600 or lower. But there are ways that people can correct and help.
Absolutely.
So when we come back from the break, I want to take a little time and unpackage that and give us a few of the strategies people can use to get themselves healthy, not only financially, but spiritually too.
That's great.
You're listening to The Shepherd at Work. My guest is Christy Neruzzi. And as always, in the studio is my bud, Mike Gillen, who is manning the board and making us sound good. So we will be back right after this message.
If you're a Christian business person and you want to meet people who want to do business with you, you need to join the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce. Why? Because the mission of the Christian Chamber is to build kingdom, business, and community. And it all starts with the Christian principle of building relationships. To learn more about the Christian Chamber and all the different ways you can get engaged with hundreds of other Central Florida Christian business people, visit cfchristianchamber.com or call 407-258-3570.
Hey, this is Mike Gilland, Operations Manager at the Shepherd Radio Network, with a special invitation for you to join me daily, Monday through Friday, for my show, Afternoons with Mike. Our show is aired at 3:05 p.m. and replayed twice, first the same night at 9:05 p.m., then the next morning at 10:05 a.m. It's my privilege to have a wide variety of guests on my show, ranging from senators to pastors, celebrities to singers and businessmen and women. The common thread to each episode is our goal to look at life through the lens of a biblical worldview. You can listen on air to any of the three Shepherd stations in Florida. Plus, you can listen online at our homepage, theshepherdradio.com. Listen on demand to our podcast, available on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. All you have to do is use the search phrase, Afternoons with Mike.
Ladies, do you want the men in your lives to be better husbands, fathers, and providers? Men, do you want all that and more? Christ-Led Communities has the answer. With men's Bible studies and group experiences, Christ-Led Communities has a curriculum that meets most every man's spiritual needs. Visit clchq.org to learn about your opportunities to grow in Christ in a Christ-Led community. The website again is clchq.org or 407-484-3899.
Once again, here's Mark Goldstein.
And we're back. Credit Christy. Christy Neruzzi. I will give somebody a dollar if they'll contact me and spell her name correctly. It is an interesting one.
It's a doozy.
And when we promote this show on air, on the website and on Facebook, people will see how it's spelled.
Well, you're going to be given a lot of dollars.
No, they got to do it before the show ends. Actually, maybe we ought to just cut this part out of the show now. Okay, so Christy, before we took the break, we talked about the fact that there's a lot of people that have credit less than what they need to buy a house or to do a lot of other things. And credit means a lot to people. A lot. Having a better score, esteem, self-worth, not even mentioning being able to buying capacity. So what are some of the things that folks can do, and especially Christians can do, to shore up their finances for now and for the future?
Great question. So I've got to start off by saying credit is a game that is created, and we have to know the rules in order to participate and participate well. It's one of those things, I love Dave Ramsey, but he is still preaching and teaching that you don't need to have a credit score. And I just don't think that that's accurate information in today's world. When you need to borrow money, most lending institutions require a great credit score.
And by the way, the last time I applied for a job, and it was a long time ago, they wanted to check my credit score.
Yes, a lot of employers will do that as well. So it's something that you just really can't get away from. So if we're forced inside of this game, might as well learn the rules and win. And so in order to win with the credit reporting bureaus, what they're looking at is your background, your ability to borrow money and pay it back on time. Some people try to make it more difficult than that. It is really, truly that simple. So your overall profile, they report for the last 7 years worth of activity. Since the date of last activity being reported, and that's going to have anything that's open, that's closed, and collections. So what's open? That means you have a credit card, an auto loan, a mortgage, something that you're actively paying on. You might be borrowing against it currently. Something that's closed. Let's say you had a car and last year you paid it off. It's still going to show up for 7 years from the last payment. And that doesn't necessarily have as much to do with your credit score when it's closed, unless there were late payments. Then they use that against you for a really long time. Sure. But if you paid it on time and closed it properly, that doesn't really help or hurt your credit score. So really what they're looking at is what's open and active right now. So I've talked to people where they said, I've had credit for 30 years. Why is one of the reasons saying I don't have longstanding established credit? Well, because the longest open account you have right now is what they're looking at, not how long you've always had credit. So that's a very big misconception. One of the things that's really important to know is 35% of your credit score is made up of your payment history, and you can completely control your payment history. Mm-hmm. So pay it on time. A lot of times people will try and go and get a lot of different kinds of credit thinking there's like a gold star for every credit card in your wallet, and that is not accurate. Really, to have a positive payment history and a great credit profile, have at least one installment loan and one credit card, preferably a bank-issued credit card, not necessarily like a store credit card.
Right.
And then keep it as long as you can. For those who are scared of debt, don't want to have debt, maybe you've worked really hard to get out of debt and you don't want that. I hate that we call it credit. It's not actually credit. Mm-hmm. It's debt, right? Let's just call it what it is. You can actually have some accounts that isn't loaning you money. It's actually reporting as an installment loan or a credit card, but it's against your own money. It's secured by your own funds. I don't work for them. I don't get anything out of this, but there's a really great company called Self.Inc. where you can set up an installment loan. And basically it's like a bank account, and you're paying out of this bank account over into this other bank account, but it's reported as a payment. So you're not actually getting into debt.
Right.
You're paying an interest rate to them for that service of them reporting it to the credit reporting bureaus, but it's your money. So I like proposing those kinds of suggestions for somebody, because I'm not a fan of debt. I don't carry credit card debt. I don't like any of it. And it's because I was a slave to it. I was buried underneath it for much of my adult life, and it kept me up at night. I would lose sleep trying to figure out how to make this payment. It got to the point I could barely make my minimum payments anymore. Mm. And in our current state of economy, you've heard about the interest rates going up, and that's accurate with the mortgage interest rates, but the Fed funds rate has gone up 5 times this year. Well, what's important about the Fed funds rate is it affects what's called the prime index rate. And the prime index rate is what all credit cards are tied to. Mm-hmm. So almost all the credit cards are variable. So that means the interest rate can change over time. So 5 times the prime index rate has gone up this year alone, and they're anticipating raising it again many more times. If that's the case, every single time your interest rate is going up on your credit cards, Well, the average household that carries a credit card balance carries almost $9,000.
Wow.
We're talking thousands of dollars in interest fees, and a big part of your payment is going to go towards just feeding that interest.
And a lot of these parents are the ones that say, I can't afford to put my kids in private school. I can't afford to give to my church. I can't afford this and that and the other. And here, it's all getting wasted in interest.
It is an interest. And we call it servicing debt. And when you're servicing debt, I mean, I've looked at thousands of credit reports over the last many years of my line of work. And an overarching theme is installment loans, car payments. The average car payment is about $600 right now on a new car. It's insane. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people with multiple credit cards. I was trying to help this sweet family about a month ago. They had 32 credit cards. And you guys, they had 24 of those 32 credit cards had a maxed out balance.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, they were just drowning in it. So when I did the math, not even talking about the car payments, they were servicing $2,400 a month on credit card payments. So that's stuff that they bought in the past, they don't even have right now. So how do you have anything left over when the majority of your income is going to servicing debt?
So for somebody that their income is pretty much fixed, is there any other solution other than bankruptcy to get out of that dilemma?
Well, I'll tell you what I did.
Okay.
I got a second and third job. True story. I worked on the weekends. I took a third job that was a couple evenings in a week. And I called my credit card companies and I said, listen, you got me at a 19.99 APR. I've had this credit card for a year. I've never been late. I would really like to work hard at getting these credit card balances down. But a big chunk of what I'm paying each month is going towards feeding the interest. Would you be able to help me by reducing, even temporarily, my interest rate? And two out of the three really big credit cards that I had agreed. One did it for 6 months. I can't remember what the other one did it for. It was a little bit longer than 6 months, but that gave me a little bit of reprieve. If you have a decent enough credit score, there's a good chance that you could qualify for a 0% transfer on a credit card balance. Mm. The problem I see people get into is they'll transfer over this balance and then go and use that credit card again. Do not close any credit cards because it will reduce what's called your debt utilization and it will further impact in a negative way your credit score. So keep them open, but just get that credit card out of your wallet. Go put it someplace. Go freeze it in a block of ice. You can't use it. Put it in a drawer. Don't use it. Don't add more debt. But then that means 100% of your payment each month is going towards reducing that principal balance.
One of the things that I found, especially when you know you have all this money at your disposal you could use, then all of a sudden you start thinking of things that you don't have, that you'd like to have. And what I've started doing, because I'm an impulse kind of guy, but what I started doing is if I see something, it's a big ticket item and I'm thinking I really need to have that, I wait 3 days.
The smart.
And
smart
I see
rule.
After 3 days, and most of the time, you know what? I really don't want it.
That's right. So we have something that's called the wanting mind, and it desires for us to have this thing. It might be a new cell phone or a new purse or a new car or whatever, right? So what happens is, and there's been all sorts of tests that show this, that want actually blows up your brain a little bit more than the actual satisfaction of that want. So as soon as you satisfy that want, guess what happens? You want for something else. And so we actually have to tame that little monster inside of us. And so if you're looking to do larger purchases, I love that idea of waiting 3 days to make that decision. I also love the idea of figuring out a way to save it. Like I got allowance when I was young and that, you know what the adults in my life said? How are you going to spend it?
Mm.
They never said, what are you saving for?
Right.
Right. So we've had this since little kids. And now we're trying to undo all that stuff.
And it's interesting. My parents' generation were very much, what are you going to save it for? My generation, because I'm 68, I'll be 68. Mike, I'm up there with Mike. Were we going to spend it on? Because we were that boomer. Christy, we have a little less than a minute to go. Time flew by. We've got to do this again. But for people who have heard you and would really like to talk to you, learn more, maybe they have a specific issue, or maybe they just want to buy a house or whatever, how can people get in touch with you?
Sure. I'll give a couple of ways to get a hold of me. Okay. If it's non-mortgage related, you can reach out to me at questions@creditchristie.com. And I'm sure you'll have the spelling of my name there. And if it is mortgage related, I can give my work email address to. It's Christie@Geneva, G-E-N-E-V-A-F-I, like finance.com. And my NMLS number is 754092, because sometimes I have to put that out there. But I'm happy to be able to connect with you that way. And social media, @CreditChristie.
And for those of you who follow us on Facebook, it'll be in there for the podcast too. Christie, thank you so much for being with us. Mike, thank you as always for making us sound good.
Oh, I try.
And we will see you next week on The Shepherd at Work.
Been listening to The Shepherd at Work. Tune in next week as Mark will introduce you to another marketplace leader who will show you how to live your Christian faith in every place you work and live. The Shepherd at Work, sponsored by the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce, building kingdom, business, and community.
The preceding was a Mark Radio production.